Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sports Performance Radio Show, where you'll be entertained, educated, and motivated by top experts in a variety of fields, including sport, business, and fitness. Your host, Chris Thomas, is a speaker, certified mind performance consultant, personal trainer, sports and remedial massage therapist, and author of 6 Days to a Champion's Mindset. He wants to help you win. To learn about Chris, log on to u2-mindbodyfitness.co.uk. Who's your special guest this week, Chris?
Welcome to this edition of the Sports Performance Radio Show, where we talk to elite athletes about their sport and the type of mental skills they use to achieve their outcomes. And I'm your host, Chris Thomas. She's the fastest woman in Norway and races onto our show. Today, we speak to Norwegian sprinter Izene Okparable. Izene is a 24-year-old track and field sprint athlete who competes internationally for Norway. Just recently at the Bislett Games in Oslo, Izene won the 100-meter with a time of 11.31. Izene saw much success as a junior, winning the 100-meter dash gold at the 2007 European Championships. A year later, she reached the second round of the century dash at the Beijing Olympic Games, setting a new personal best of 11.32 seconds. Even more recently, Izene achieved another personal best in the 100-meter, coming in at 11.16. Izene represented Norway at the 2008 Summer Olympics in Beijing. She competed at the 100-meter sprint and qualified for the first and second round. In the 2009 European Indoor Championships in Turin, she won a silver medal in the 60-meters event. Izene holds Norwegian records in the 100 and the 60-meters. She was also part of the quartet that set the Norwegian benchmark in the 4x100-meter relay back in 2008. Today we talk to Izene as she relates her life as a Norwegian athlete, her goals for the Olympics, her experiences, motivations, goals, and just what it's like to be the fastest woman in Norway. And hopefully my attempt at a welcome in Norwegian hasn't put her off. Izene, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's great. It's great to have you on the show. And what was your earliest memory of being involved in sport?
For me, track and field has always been my first sport. I haven't done anything else. I did a little bit dancing, but not so much. So, it was actually just in school. We had a school activity day, and I was running, and some teachers saw me and like, wow, you're fast. You should do track and field. So that's where it all started, basically.
Well, okay. And how old were you?
I was 11, 12. That age. Before that, I actually didn't do anything. I was just a regular kid, you know, going to school. Yeah.
Well, okay. So 11, 12. And what did you find yourself doing specific races or, you know, what sort of track and field events did you do at first?
It was I was told that I should start. It took me maybe 2 years until I just found the club. And it was my father who was out looking for a good club for me. And he found a club named Bull. So when I started, it was basically just sprints because that's, you know, in track and field, you find your talent very early. So if you're really tall and if you, you know, you can do high jump and some, you know, you find it very early.
How tall are you?
Yeah. I think I'm one of the shortest sprints. I'm 164 centimeter, but when I'm, you know, at the start line, I feel like one of the tallest. So, yeah.
that's the way you got to think about it, isn't it?
Yeah,
stand tall.
It is. Yeah, it's all mental.
So we don't immediately think of Norway producing lots of sprinters. So are things changing now for the good?
I think it is, but, you know, we still have our challenges. Track and field is not the biggest sport in Norway. It's getting bigger. The more profiles you get, the more attention you get as well. So we have a few now, and which are doing really well internationally. And I think people are, you know, getting, seeing that we're doing well, and they give us more attention and they're more interested in see how we're doing. So, and yeah, it gets bigger. So, but it's not the biggest one.
Just out of interest, what is the biggest sport in Norway? What's the one thing that everyone watches or participates
in? Yeah, you know, Norway is not a warm country. During the summer, it's okay, but it's not too hot. Maybe it's
like
London or England. Yeah,
sure.
Just sometimes really worse. Yeah, it's not too, the weather's not too good. But during the winters, we have snow and it's really cold. So they're really interested in skiing. So skiing is huge.
Ah.
Yeah, it is.
Are you a skier yourself?
Yeah. No. I tried when I was younger, but that was it. That's it. It's too cold. I don't like the cold.
Oh, I've been skiing before, and I tell you, isn't it? When you're on the slopes, you actually warm up so quickly. I went with like coat, jumper, t-shirt, two t-shirts. Mm. I wrapped up by the end, by like an hour into the skiing, I was down to my t-shirt.
Yeah.
Not just my t-shirt.
Oh.
Track things. You get really, really warm. So give it a go.
Yeah.
After you've done your athletics, so you don't want to break a leg or anything.
Yeah, when I'm done with track, yeah, because I don't want any injury.
Exactly, yeah.
Because I'm not really good at it, so I probably look funny up there doing my skiing thing, so I prefer maybe not to do what I know how to do, and that's running.
Okay, cool. In the UK, there's an apparent decline of female participation in sport after they leave school. It's all well and good when they're at school, but after they leave school, they don't seem to adhere to sport. So what's it like in Norway? Is that a similar thing or is it very, very different?
It's the similar thing. We don't have... like they have in US, they have maybe if you're really good early, they will give you a scholarship and they will support you with both the education and your sport. But in Norway, we don't have anything like that. So you have to get maybe a sponsor early to keep your career, like your sport career. So I think after high school, people quit because maybe of the economical aspects. Maybe they get a part-time job and it'll be really hard to still do the sport. So, yeah. So, and that makes it, there's not that many.
It's a real,
but it's possible.
Yeah. Hmm? It's a real difficult thing that like athletics, because you need sponsoring really to
you do.
If you've got big goals and you have to have sponsorship. And it's the same, I imagine, in Norway where a lot of athletes, they do a lot do it by themselves, but there's a need for funding and it only goes to specific amount of people, and it's perhaps not the fairest of systems, but that's the way it is.
Mm. It is the way it is, and some sponsors come maybe after when you're really good and you've performed in the Olympics. Mm. They come, but I've always said it's not when you need them when you're in your goal towards, you know, what's where you want to go. That's where you need help. I've been really lucky. I got sponsored very early. So I think that's why I'm here, where I am today, because I've had help and people who believed in me quite early.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all part of the support system, isn't it? You got your coach, you got your technical skills coach and performance coaches, whatever, and you have the support of your family and friends, and then you need the financial support and things like that. It's,
yeah.
It's not the sort of sport where you get paid for each event you participate in, like in tennis, for instance. Each round of tennis you play in a Grand Slam, you get paid like $20,000.
Oh,
that would be good, wouldn't it?
It would be so good. People would be so motivated. No, it's definitely not like that at all. Not at all. You need help from everything. Has to be in balance. Everything, the financial, the coach, you know, the medical, you need physio. Everything has to be in order for you to become as good as you want to be. And, yeah, it's not easy. I would talk, it's really, it's a brutal sport, as I say. It's very brutal. One day you can be all up there, you've won, and the next day, you know, it can be really, you've lost, and it can be really tough. Then it's just like a mental roller coaster. It's a crazy sport, but it's fun, you know. It's fun when it goes well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And, I mean, when times are perhaps not going so well, what experience do you mostly look back on in the past which gives you the most motivation to continue now?
It's just to have people there who believed in me and who kept telling me, you can do it, you have the potential, it's a part of the game. Maybe if you're injured, you're injured, but you get well, and so you need to still training, need to do rehab and keep going, and just be mentally prepared that you will be back where you were at. It's just a downside, and it's not only in sport, it's in life as well. So I think it's just to follow your dream and still follow your goal. Don't give up and just keep fighting, and one day you'll make it. That's what I think.
And it is, I mean, like 100 meters, apart from perhaps the relays where you've got a team effort, 100 meters is a solo event. So a lot of it comes down to you. So your mindset has to be really, really secure. Do you do mental skills coaching for yourself that you use in your own in sport?
I don't go to sport psychologist or anything, but I it's just me, and maybe I can talk to my coach. Sometimes I use music. I just block everything out, like just me, music, and I just focus on what I have to do. I try not to focus on the other athletes. It's just me, my track, and that's it. And then they start. When I hear the gun, I just run, and I try to forget others. It's not always easy. It's easier said than done, believe me. I mean, but it's just that's how I do it. It's just me. That's a solo game. You're not independent on the other. Not at all. It's just you. If you do well, it's you. And if you don't do well, then it's you.
it's you. Very true. On the last show I did with, I spoke to Dr. Robin Jackson, who's a sports psychologist, and who wrote a PhD on choking in sport. And he we were talking about how, you know, what it is, what it means to choke in sport, and what the kind of factors that are involved. A lot of the time, it was one of the things are the external factors, like the expectation of others, like the expectation of your coach, the expectation of the patient, friends and family. Once you concentrate on these things too much and not internally, that's when you start to choke and your performance drops. So it was a really, really interesting show. But it's very true, like you're saying, it is just you out there. Obviously you have the support of your coach, friends and family, but when it comes down to it on the line, you standing there. That's really good mindset that you have. So what's important to you about your sport and life?
Well, in my sport, that's, for me, it's just to reach my full potential for myself. That is to, when I'm done with track and field, I'm done. There's no coming back or anything. I'm done and I'm content, and I've done what I've think that I can do, what my body can do, and that is important thing for me in sport. And also to use my sport maybe to motivate others and just to show people that it's possible, you know. You can chase your dream, you can, and it makes me happy to do what I'm doing. It's brutal at times, but it's, you know, it's my passion, and I think it's awesome. I think that I'm just fortunate to do what I love, and I can see this as a job. It's my job, and I love my job.
Well, it's always great when you have that attitude where, you know, you can wake up in the morning and you love your job.
Yeah.
There's probably not many people in the world that can actually say that. I love what I do, you know, and it is a great feeling that you can use that to motivate yourself and to motivate others. I mean, you see yourself as a bit of a role model for female athletes in Norway, because, like I said before, there's not been many sort of
that's really true. When I was growing up, we didn't have that many, or even really, really, really good experiences in really high levels. So I think it can motivate others to see that it's possible. They probably see me training, they probably talk to me, and they see, it's possible. I can aspire to be like this, and I can make it. It's just a mindset. It's just to be aggressive and to go towards their goal. So I think I have a positive influence on them. I hope I do.
I'm sure you do. You took a decision to change your coach, pack your bags, and move to the USA to train. What was the purpose behind that move?
Yeah, I think that was a really tough decision. That was after the season last year, and we're about to train. And we've actually started training, and I just found myself not motivated at all. I can just come to training, and I didn't have satisfaction of it. Like, I just come there just to do what I was supposed to do. I didn't do the extra. It was okay. And I just thought to myself, okay, it's not enough to become one of the best in the world. I can be happy, be okay. I need to push myself. I need to go out there, learn new things, and that's what I do. And it was kind of a hard decision, because people also came up to me and like, are you crazy to change coach? It's an Olympic year, and you don't know what you're getting yourself into, and this and that. And I just thought to myself, okay, well, I just, in life, you have to take chances. You can't just be in your comfort zone. You know, life is about taking chances, about experiencing new things. And I thought to myself, okay, if it didn't go that well, I know that it was a decision that I did, and I know that I should talk through it. And I will say, okay, it's a decision that I took, and it didn't go too well. Oh, well, okay. But luckily, it's going really well, and I'm really happy that I took that decision. And when I come over to be in the U.S., it was different. It was so different. I was used to. Back home, I was the best, you know, even though I wasn't doing that well in practice, I would still be the best. You know, you just get content. You just get, oh, okay. So, and when I came over there, I'm like, oh, wow, I just got my ass kicked. Yeah, and I'm not used to it. It's like I kind of have to swallow. I'm like, okay, next time. And it makes you better. So,
yeah,
I'm happy. I'm happy I took that decision.
Well, it sounded like it was an all-round improving your personality, and really a humbling experience, because as an athlete and as an elite athlete, you always want to be bettering yourself and improving yourself and be the best. So sometimes you might get you might come up across someone who is better than you, who does things way better than you, but then it's a nice target to head for and a goal to head for to equal yourself, isn't it? And is that what happened in America?
Definitely.
You said you found,
Yeah, that helped me a lot. I just have to, okay, I'm in a new environment. And you also get more aggressive in the practice. It's fun, but you also get, it's kind of competitive in practice. And that's something new for me, just to give my all in practice. And I think that's one of the biggest things that make me run fast this year, and also that I also have a great coach, Reina Rado, who has helped me a lot this year. So I think those things have helped me.
Great. So you went to America, you come back. What benefits are you seeing now after making that move?
I feel more, I have more like confidence when I'm at the start line. I know that I've done the job, and when you know that you've worked hard, you have confidence. It's not about, oh, I look good today, that kind of confidence.
Yeah.
It's more about, it's like, yeah, I've worked so hard and I've sweat and I've sometimes almost cried because training has been tough, but that's that kind of confidence I'm talking about. And you know that in training, you've competed with in a really high level, and that gives you confidence. And that, and the thing about sprint is it's not just the physical thing. It's not just about how fast you are, but it's also the mental thing. I think when it comes to maybe in the championship, then you're in the final, I think it comes down to your mental statement.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is what it comes, the person that keeps, the person that is calm, the person that has confidence, I think that person will win when other people might choke, even though they have better times than you.
Yeah.
So,
well, I saw you, I was watching the Bislett Games, and I saw you in the 100-meter race there. And you did look very calm and almost surreal. So what was going through your mind as you were standing there on the line in your home country? Okay, it wasn't an A standard race, but still, a bit of pressure there. What was going through your mind at that time?
Yeah. It was running at home. It can be really good, and sometimes it can be really bad because there's expectation there, no matter what. And either you can go both ways. You can use that expectation, and you can just get excited, and then you can tell yourself, everybody here is rooting for me. Everybody wants me to do well. And then you can just be calm and try to do it. But when I was standing there, I wasn't thinking too much. I was just thinking what I have to do to excel in that race, what I have different faces, and just be happy. I was calm, but I was excited. It's like my friend of my home crowd, my family was there, my friends, and I think it was fun. For me, it was just fun. I wasn't too nervous or scared. I was just, yay. fun. Actually.
And that carried you over the line, which is great to see as well. It was really cool.
Yeah, and I was so happy when I won that one.
I've got a couple of questions for you here. And I've got a couple of questions for you here, which are non-sport related, okay? First of all, if your best friend wrote a short story about you, what do you think they would write?
If my best friend was to do what?
If your best friend wrote a short story about you, what do you think they would write? A story. What would they write? Once upon a time,
maybe.
I knew it was easy.
Oh, so I have to say that story, right?
Yeah. So what would they write? So put yourself in their shoes. What do you think they would write about you? About you as a personality? As a person.
Yeah, they'd probably say, okay, once upon a time there was a girl that met today. She's very lively. She's goofy sometimes. She's very dedicated. Wow, now I'm just bragging about myself. She works toward her goals, and I'm such a bad storyteller.
Yeah, you are.
I am. I'm so bad.
Oh man.
I'm so bad.
Good effort.
I know, probably write a good story, a comedy. That would be a comedy.
Yeah.
Even though, I sometimes I do the most things people wouldn't think. So yeah, it might be a comedy, I think.
What music is on your iPod or your mobile that you're listening to right now?
It's mostly R&B. Like Trey Songz, Neo, Maxwell, some old Brian McKnight. Yeah, I love R&B. But when I'm competing, it's more rap, dancehall, like the Jamaican style. Something with beat and rhythm.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that. I love that. Just some mixed song. My friend makes some songs for me, and I can just listen to it. So it depends what kind of mood I'm in. Sometimes I just want to listen to R&B. When I want to relax, it's just Queen, R&B, and just ballet, really slow. People think that I have, like, you know, somebody broke up with me all the time, but it's because I'm listening to all those love songs.
We can expect a little dance on the line when you're lining up for the race then. So like Usain Bolt, you can do like a little jig.
Yeah, the thing is, I prefer to do mine after the race. So yeah, it would look stupid if you go there and dance or shake your ass off and then you don't, you know.
Okay, yeah, and then you don't win. Yes,
I do mine after.
Yeah, Usain Bolt is basically going to win, so you can do it before and after.
Yeah.
And probably during if you want
to. And after. And during, yeah. I know. Yeah. One day, Chris.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, we look forward to that, definitely. What animal would you describe yourself as? What animal would you describe yourself as? You can answer this really quickly.
Tiger.
A tiger. Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Okay, brilliant. Tiger tells a lot about you.
Oh, okay.
And you have a nickname that people call you. Maybe we shouldn't say it. Maybe we shouldn't say it.
Do you want to say it? No, maybe we shouldn't say it. No. Maybe not.
Listeners and fans and everything can contact you if they want to find out what it is.
They can do
okay,
that.
Okay, then. Well, thank you very much for coming to the show and talking to us. It's been great speaking with you and to hear about your goals. And in fact, what are your immediate goals at the moment? So, what have you got looking forward to?
In Wednesday, I'm running. Okay, in Thursday, I'm running finals in the European Championships in Finland, Helsinki. And then I have the Olympics. So that's the two championships that I'm going to be in.
Well, we really look forward to seeing you at the London Olympics, and we'll be looking out for you in the races because you seem like an exciting athlete to watch. So that'd be great to see. So please,
say bye to me.
You're welcome. Please stay on the line, and I'll speak to you shortly. But we've been speaking to Zeni Okparebo, who is a sprinter from Norway, and we've been talking about how she focuses her mind on her sport and uses the mental skills that she does in her sport and the kind of motivation and goals that she has for the future. My name is Chris Thomas, and you've been listening to the Sports Performance Radio Show. Zeni, thank you once again for coming on to the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.